2 Samuel chapter 18. Now the enemies of David are all apparently winning. And the worst thing is that his son Absalom is the one who wants to kill his father and has declared himself to be king. So now there is going to be a battle between David's men and the men of Absalom. King David brought all his men together, divided them into units of 1,000 and of 100, and put officers over each of them. He sent them out in three groups, with Joab, Joab's brother Abishai, and Ittai from Gath, each of them commanding one of the three groups. The king said to the men, "I will go out with you." "You cannot go out with us," they replied. "The enemy won't make any difference concerning any of us. Even if half of us are killed, they don't care. They want your life. You are worth 10,000 of us. It'll be better if you stay here in the city and help us." And I presume they mean you pray for us. "I'll do what you say," the king replied. So he stood by the side of the gate as his men marched out. I'm sure he was there, as it says, helping them from the city by praying for them. But he ordered the leaders, Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, "For my sake, do not hurt the young man Absalom." Well, Absalom wasn't young really at this time, but he's always David's baby. And all the troops heard David give this commandment. So David's army went out and fought the Israelites in the forest of Ephraim. And David's men defeated the Israelites. These are the men following Absalom. There was an awful slaughter. 20,000 men were killed. The fighting spread over the countryside, and there were more men consumed by the forest than killed in the battle. But suddenly Absalom met some of David's soldiers, and Absalom was riding a donkey. And as it passed under a large oak tree, Absalom's head got caught in the branches, because he had this hair that he was such a poser. He always pulled his hair once a year. He was quite the poser. And so that was the death of him, because his hair got caught in the oak branches and his donkey went on. So Absalom was left hanging in midair. One of David's soldiers reported it to Joab. "I saw Absalom hanging in an oak tree," he said. Joab replied, "If you saw him, why didn't you kill him? I myself would have given you a belt and 10 pieces of silver if you had." But the man replied, "Even if you gave me 1,000 pieces of silver, I would not slay the king's son. We all heard the king's commandment. He said, 'For my sake, do not harm the young man Absalom.' But if I had disobeyed the king and killed Absalom, the king would have known about it, because he knows everything like an angel of God, and you would not have stood up for me." "I will not waste more time with you," Joab said. He took 3 spears and plunged them into Absalom's heart while he was still alive, hanging in the oak tree. Then 10 of Joab's soldiers finished off the killing of Absalom. Then Joab blew the trumpet to stop the fighting, and his soldiers returned from pursuing the Israelites. They threw Absalom's body into a deep pit in the forest and covered it with a large pile of stones, and the Israelites fled each man to his tent. In his lifetime, Absalom had built a tower for himself in the king's valley, because he had no descendant to keep his name alive. So he named it after himself, and to this day it is known as Absalom's Pillar. How sad, what a sad guy Absalom was, so vain, wanting to be the king, being eager to kill his own father. But he didn't even have a son to carry on his name. Then Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, said to Joab, "Let me run to the king with the good news that the Lord has saved him from his enemies." Joab said, "No, don't do that today. Some other day you can do so, but not today, because the king's son is dead." Then he said to his Cushite servant, "You go and tell the king what you've seen." And the servant bowed and ran off. But Ahimaaz insisted, "Please let me take this news as well." "Why do you want to do it?" Joab said, "I'm not going to give you any reward for it, nor will anybody." Ahimaaz says, "Well, whatever, I'm going to go." "Well, go," Joab said. You get all this detail of what's happening. It's like the cameraman is zoomed in really close up, so we can imagine the terrible situation. So Ahimaaz ran off, and he overran the Cushite servant. Now David was sitting between the inner and outer gates of the city. The watchman went up to the top of the wall and stood on the roof. And he looked out and he saw one man running alone and called down and told the king. David replied, if he's alone, he's probably bringing good news. The runner came nearer and nearer. So we can imagine it all. The cameraman is zoomed in, focused up close. And then the watchman noticed another man running alone and he called down to the gatekeeper, look, there's another man running. The king replied, he also is probably bringing good news. So David's being set up for this great disappointment. The watchman said, I can see the first man runs like a Ahimaaz. Ah, he's a good man, the king said, so he's bringing good news. That doesn't follow, does it, that a good man has good news? But that's how David was thinking. We get the impression he's so worked up. Ahimaaz greeted the king, threw himself on the ground, he must have been panting, and said, praise Yahweh your God, who has given victory over the men who rebelled against you. But is the young man Absalom safe? David asked. Ahimaaz replied, well, when Joab sent me, I saw there was a big commotion, a big fuss, but I didn't know what was going on. You stand over there, the king said. And he went over and stood there. You see how all the detail is being built up. Then the Cushite servant arrived and said to the king, good news from my lord the king. Today the Lord has given you victory over those who rebelled against you. But is the young man Absalom safe? David asked. The slave replied, well, I wish that what happened to him would happen to all your enemies and to all those who rebel against you. In other words, he's dead. Their king broke down with grief, and he went up to the room over the gateway and wept. And as he went up, he cried, oh, my son Absalom, my son, if only I had died for you, my son Absalom, my son. Well, when you read the Psalms, you get a fuller picture because you've got to put the Bible together. And here in Samuel, we're reading the history. And in the Psalms, you read these songs and the poems that David wrote. And he wrote a few songs and poems when he was running away from Absalom. And in a lot of them, he says, what a bad man he is, and may he be judged, and may God judge my enemies. But now it actually happens. He's absolutely heartbroken. It's a bit like he prayed against Saul in the Psalms, and then when Saul is killed, he's heartbroken as well, and he weeps over Saul. So you've got to be careful what you pray for. You've got to be really careful, because in a way you get what you really ask for, but you've got to ask for the right things. So you might really pray, oh, that I can marry this boy or marry that girl, and then it doesn't work out. And years later, you look back and think, oh, thank God that didn't work out. So you've got to be careful what you pray for, because you might get it, and you probably will get it. Somebody may pray, I want to be a millionaire. I want to be really rich. They get really rich. And they are miserable, miserable, miserable people. They'd have been far better to stay a bit poorer and be happy. So above all things, we want to be in God's kingdom. And that is the one thing that we will never regret and which we will be eternally happy for.